Hello, everybody. Alan Meshagan Jr. here, and I'm excited to welcome you to this edition of our Full Turn podcast. This is not one of our sermon podcasts. This is an opportunity for me to sit and share with you from my heart some of the things that God has put in my spirit. So I'm excited to have you listening today. And before we get into our teaching today, which we're going to talk about a paradigm shift, the paradigms in our life shifting and changing, that we're seeing things the way God wants us to see it. Before we get into that, I want to encourage you to take advantage of all of our online resources and our app. We have a Full Turn app that you can get on and watch all of our messages, listen to our messages. You can also take advantage of fullturn.com, which is our website where you can also give online. You can listen to our old sermons, our YouTube channel. You can find a link to our YouTube channel, or you can go to YouTube, Full Turn Church, and you can watch all of our past episodes. I think that the majority of all of our teachings and sermon series are there for you. We encourage you to go and listen to those today. Okay, so let's talk about some of the stuff that I want to talk to you about this morning. In Mark, the second chapter, some people came to Jesus and they said, "Hey, Jesus, you know, what's going on with you and your disciples? Because we see John the Baptist, his disciples, and we see the Pharisees' disciples, they're all fasting, but yet your disciples aren't fasting." And so Jesus said to them, he said, "Well, while the bridegroom is with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom's taken away from them, and then they'll fast in that day." And then he starts talking about how you can't put new cloth on old cloth. You can't sew a new patch on an old garment. And then he starts talking about how you can't put new wine in old wineskins, because the new wine in an old wineskin will burst the skin and then the wine will be wasted. In other words, he's saying you can't put something new in something old. I believe what he's talking about here is he's talking about a way of doing things. He's talking about a shift in our way of doing things, changing the pattern of the way that we do things, that we no longer do things in the way we were doing things, but now we're gonna see things in a whole new way. What Jesus is literally talking about here is he's talking about a paradigm shift. Now, the word paradigm means your worldview, the way you see things. It also means pattern, or it means a way that you have of doing things, that your paradigm should change, because I can't get something new to you if you're thinking in an old way. And the Bible talks about that. It says in the book of Romans, in Romans the 12th chapter, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So our mindset has to change. There has to be a shift in our thinking. I believe that so many people, what they have is they have stinking thinking. Because our thinking stinks, our life stinks. Because our thinking stinks, we're not seeing the results that we need to see in life. Possibly you've heard it said this way, that if you do the same thing in the same way, you get the same results. And so understand in this passage that I just mentioned, which is found in Mark, the second chapter, 8, verses 18 through 22, when Jesus is talking about new cloth on old clothes or a new patch on an old garment, and he's talking about new wine and old wineskins, he's not talking about cloth. He's not talking about wineskins. He's talking about a new way of thinking and doing. He's using these as an example to talk about a whole new paradigm. And so what he is saying, in fact, is this: my disciples cannot do things the way that John's disciples are doing it and the Pharisees' disciples are doing it, because I'm getting them ready. I'm getting their minds ready. I'm getting their lives ready to receive something that nobody on this planet has ever received in the way that I'm about to give it. And so if you want new things to happen in your life, you're going to have to change your old patterns. Remember what I just said. If you do the same thing in the same old way, you're going to get the same results. Possibly you've heard it said this way: insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. I mean, how many of you out there, how many of you've ever wanted to see something new happen and it didn't happen, and you wonder, well, why is this not happening? Have you ever thought that maybe it's because you haven't changed at all the way you're doing things? You know, it's like we know there are certain things that we know. Like we know there are certain things that we want to see change in life. I mean, maybe you're someone who's wanting to see a change in your physical body and your physical condition, maybe with your eating habits or maybe with, you know, bodybuilding or exercise or whatever. You know, you can know the exercises that you should be doing. I mean, you can read about them. You can get the magazines. You can get In Shape magazine and you can read, you know, all the different exercises. You can read about, you know, abs of steel and buns of steel and the different exercises. You can look at all the exercises. You can read about all the diets that are out there, all the new fad diets about the shakes and the protein. And you can even go into a store that's selling vitamins and you can go and look at what's on the shelf and you can go from item to item. But here's the thing, until you put those things in your body and until you start doing the exercises, until you start changing the way that you are eating, you're not going to see any change in your body or in your health. It's just not going to change until you take what you know and you start doing it. So what Jesus is saying, what he's teaching here is, I'm going to get a group of people seeing things in a different way so that they can do things in a way that nobody has ever done it before. Now that's good. We need to understand if we're going to do things in a way that no one's ever done it before, then we're going to have to begin to see things in a way that no one has ever seen it before. And we're going to have to take what we know and take what's been revealed to us from heaven and start putting it to practice here in the earth. Have you ever, let me ask you this, how many of you that are listening today, how many of you have ever played some of those old games, like some of those old Nintendo games, like Super Mario Brothers or Mike Tyson's Punch-Out? Some of those old games like that, that's really the extent of my gaming. I don't own any kind of, you know, gaming systems. I don't play video games now. So, you know, when I was a kid, I played some of these games. The thing that I remember about these games is that if you figured out the pattern, there was a pattern to win. You know, like in Mario Brothers, you knew, I've got to jump over this and I've got to go and get that and I've got to go down this tunnel and that's going to take me to this new world and all these things. And when it came to defeating some of the enemies that are in the game, you know, you knew there's a way. This is the way that you do it. This is the way that you beat them. There's a pattern to win. If it's Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, you knew that fighting all the different fighters leading up to Mike Tyson, that they all had a different pattern, that if you followed that pattern, that you would have victory over every one of them, including Mike Tyson at the end of the game. You figured out, okay, he's going to throw a punch like this and a punch like that. I'm going to dodge. I'm going to throw a punch. You know, so there's a pattern built into the game. Now, I want you to hear this. There's a pattern that was built into the game that if you discover that pattern, you're going to win. What if I told you there's a pattern built into life, and that pattern is found in the Word of God, that if you discover that pattern, if you discover the disciplines that are in the Word, if you discover the patterns to winning in life, that if you follow those patterns, if you follow those principles, if you follow those disciplines, I mean, what is being a disciple all about? If it's not following after a pattern or following after the discipline of someone. And we're disciples of Christ. So he's the pattern. He's the example. There's no better theology than Jesus. So when you look at Jesus and you look at his life, you see the pattern of how to win in life, to reign in life, and to live the abundant life. And so when I'm looking at Jesus, he's revealing to me everything that I can be if I put my faith and trust in him. There's a pattern to win. There are disciplines found in the Word of God. And here's something that you'll realize. Every discipline in the Word of God is linked to a promise. That if you follow this discipline, you'll take hold of this promise. You'll take possession of the promise. See, I can't have the promise without the discipline. That's the problem that we have in life is we want the promise without the discipline. We want our bodies to look like Greek gods, but we're not willing to spend time at the gym. We're not willing to spend time running. We're not willing to pick up the weights. We're not willing to jump rope. We're not willing to do jumping jacks or push-ups. We're not willing to do anything, but we want the results. We want to lose 10 pounds, but we're not willing to change the way we eat. We're not willing to put the Snickers bar down. We're not willing to pass Dunkin' Donuts by. We're not willing to pass up the hot sign at Krispy Kreme because we want something that we're not willing to follow a discipline to get. Now, you need to hear that today. All of you that are listening to this podcast, you need to understand that there is a discipline that is linked to every promise. If I'm not willing to follow the discipline, then I can't have the promise. It's like when you talk about tithe and offering. What people don't understand is these disciplines that are found in the Word of God, they're also what Jesus called kingdom keys. And so every key opens up something for me. It opens up the ability to access what God says is mine. It gives me the ability to bind and to loose. And so when we talk about tithe and offering is not an Old Testament principle. It is a pattern that God has put in the earth for his children to follow, a pattern of honor. And that as we honor God, we're going to receive the blessing that comes from God. Now, so it says in Malachi 3:10, he talks about how you're robbing me. How are you robbing me in tithes and offering? He said, if you will begin to do what I've asked you to do, if you'll begin to remember me, if you'll begin to be faithful in the tithe and the offering, listen to what he says. He says, if you'll be faithful in your tithes and contributions, he said, I'm going to do something for you. He said, when you return to me, I'm going to return to you. So he says in Malachi 3:10, he says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, when you do what God has asked for you to do, you put the responsibility on him now to follow through with what he said he would do. Anytime you follow the word of God, you put the responsibility back on God and what he said. It's not your responsibility to see the promise come. It's your responsibility to do what God asked for you to do. And when you do what God has asked for you to do, it's his responsibility to bring that promise into your life. And so he said, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down a blessing until there's no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soul. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then the nations, then, see that word, then. It's all contingent upon my ability to follow through with what God's asked me to do. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I'm using this as an example because when you talk about tithe and offering, you're talking about something that 80% of the church or more, 80% of the church today, statistically, like I said, I could be off, it could be even more, that this is something that most people who call themselves Christians refuse to do. They refuse to pay their tithe. They refuse to sow significantly. They refuse to give God honor through the giving of their substance. They refuse. And so it's like, hey, I want to be financially blessed. I want to prosper. I want to have nice things. I want all these things to happen for me. I want the devourer to be rebuked. I want the windows of heaven open. I want the blessing poured out. I want my fruit to bear when it should bear and come forth when it should come forth. But I'm not willing to pay my 10% to God to honor him. I'm not willing to give my offering. So understand this. If you're not willing to do what is in the Word of God and follow the discipline of a disciple and not willing to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit and operate the keys of the kingdom, then don't expect to see what God said he would do come into your life until you do what he's asked you to do. So here we go back to the paradigm. Here we go back to the way that we see things. I've got to start seeing things differently in my life. See, let me challenge you to do something. I challenge you to look beyond your current situation and your current circumstances, and I challenge you to look beyond where you are right now and see who you can be and see who God's created you to be and see where God can take you if you'll follow the disciplines in His Word. Because if you're always looking at that, then what you're doing right now will always line up with who He says you are and who you can be. So now I'm not worried about what I don't have. I know that if I'll give what He's put in my hand to give, and I'll honor Him with what I have and honor Him with the 10% and give Him the tithe. And again, this is just an example. There are other examples in the Word of God that if I will do that, then I'll see myself, as I see myself prospering as I do this, I'll begin to prosper. As I see myself being blessed and walking in increase, as I do this, I'll find myself being blessed and walking in increase. And so everything works like that. If I can get a picture, if I can see myself as being powerful, then I'll do the things in my life that I need to do to be powerful. You know, this works in everything. It works with prayer. It works with fasting. It works with forgiving others. It works with loving others. That these are all things that if I can see myself the way God sees me, then I'm going to live in accordance with the way I see myself, the way God has created me. As I can see myself that way, everything in my life is going to line up that way. Here's what Jesus said. He said, you know, the lamp of the body is the eye. And He said, and we know this, our eyes are for seeing. So He said, if your eye is healthy, then your whole body will be healthy. He said, but if your eye is unhealthy, then the rest of yourself, the rest of your body will be unhealthy. Right there, He tells us the way we see things is key to everything else in our life falling in place. If we see things wrong, we'll have the wrong results. If we see things wrong, we'll have the wrong life. If I'm seeing unhealthy, I'll be unhealthy. But if I'm seeing wholeness, then I'll walk in wholeness. If I'm seeing myself through the eyes of God, then I will be everything that God has called and purposed for me to be. Today, what I'm encouraging is you to become a new wineskin so that God can pour His new wine in you. Because there's a lot of things that we're not ready to receive because we have not positioned our lives in such a way to receive it. Think about this. Jesus told the disciples one day, they had just come out of the place where He was teaching the multitudes. And the Bible says that He was teaching the multitudes in parables. And parables, what are parables? Parables are stories that conceal a greater meaning or a deeper meaning. And so a lot of people, when they teach about this, when they talk about it, they talk about it all wrong because they'll say things like, you know, and Jesus taught in parables. And the reason that He taught in parables is because He was trying to put it on a level that people could understand. So He would talk to them about agricultural things, or He would talk to them about, a net, or He'd talk to them about this thing or that thing because it was things that they could relate with. That's not the truth at all. Because if you read this passage that I'm talking about in Scripture, and you can go and find it, I don't have the chapter and verse in front of me, but where He's talking to the multitudes, and then He gets off to the side with His disciples, and they say to Him, Jesus, why are You teaching the multitudes in parables, but You speak to us plainly? And He said to them this, He said, because the secrets of the kingdom are for you and not for them. Now that totally does away with the theory that most people have about parables, that Jesus is teaching them in a language that they can understand. No, to the contrary, what He's doing is He is concealing an incredible truth in a story that only the seeker can dig it out. The kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field. In other words, it has to be discovered, it has to be dug up. And so everything that Jesus did was he presented to them something that they would have to actually see into it to bring the treasure of it out. Now that's powerful. He would actually have to see into it to bring the treasure out. So here it is right here. I'll bring to you the chapter and verse. It is Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew 13, 11. And he answered to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has..." Now what is he talking about here? He's talking about understanding. "For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." He said, this is why, verse 13, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing..." Now watch this. "Because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. They see, but they do not see. They hear, but they do not hear. They hear, but they do not understand." What is he saying? He's saying they are not in position. They are not ready to see what needs to be seen. They're not in position to hear what needs to be heard. And because of that, they have no understanding. He said, indeed, verse 14, "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive.'" Verse 15, "For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." Now watch this, verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." So understand this, disciples are in a place to hear what others cannot hear and to see what others cannot see. "For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." So what he's saying is, as disciples, you're not like the multitude. The multitude's here to be entertained. You're not here to be entertained. You're here because you want me. You follow me because you want me. You want to be close with me. You want to have an intimate relationship with me. You want to know what is in my mind. You want to know what I can deliver to you, what I can impart to you, what I can give to you. And because of this, you've left everything. They're following me for miracles. They're following me for the fishes and loaves. But you've put yourself in a position to draw something out of me. You're sitting at my feet. This is something that the Lord said to me some time ago. He said, "If you can sit at my feet, you can know what's in my head." This is what I'm talking about when I mean a paradigm shift. See, if we're a part of the mixed multitude, we'll never know the secrets of the kingdom. If we're a part of the mixed multitude, we're just here to get entertained. We're here for some entertainment. We're here to hear some good worship music. I hope they're playing the songs that I like today. We're here to hear a good practical message on 3 points to how to get this and that and the other thing. But are we really in position to receive the secrets of the kingdom, divine revelation, and in seeing, see, and in hearing, hear, and in understanding, understand, so that we can do what others have not been able to do, because we're seeing on a level that they cannot see, we're hearing on a level that they cannot hear, and we're understanding on a level that they cannot understand. It's a paradigm shift. It's new wine and new wineskins. It's a new patch sewn on a new garment. It works. The reason that it's not working for so many is because in seeing, they don't see. They're there for the wrong reasons. Their motives are wrong. They want to be around Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They want to be around Jesus. They want to come to church once or twice a week, but they don't want to be a true disciple, which means that I'm going to put everything in my life secondary. I'm going to put it on the back burner that I might know him, that I might go on to know the Lord, that I might follow on to know the Lord. So Jesus says to his disciples, "Listen, to you I will give the secrets." Come on. You got to hear that. The secret. "I'll give to you the secrets. What I won't tell them, I'll tell you. Because you're in a place to hear it. Because you spend time with me. Because you spend valuable time in prayer. You get in the secret place." See, it's in the secret place of the Most High that you'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's in the inner room. It's in the inner chamber. It's in those places that you'll hear secrets. It's in that place that I'll reveal to you mysteries. See, I think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had such incredible revelation. And even at one time in his life, he was caught up. He said, I know one who was caught up. He was speaking of himself, caught up into the third heaven, that he was in the spirit. He said, I don't know whether it was in the body or out of the body, but I was caught up and I heard things and saw things that I can't even put into words. And so he was in position. He had such incredible revelation and he started talking. Here's a man who talked about the mysteries. He said, I'm speaking to you of mysteries. One of the mysteries is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and other mysteries that he gave. He said, I give you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. These are things that he saw in the spirit. These are secrets that were revealed to him because he sat at the feet of Jesus. The multitudes won't get this, but those that will give up their lives to walk and follow the Lamb, to follow after Christ, they will follow on to know the Lord, and they will find themselves in the most holy place, hearing the secrets of God. And he said, I love what Jesus said. Jesus said, those things that you go and you spend time with the Father in secret, he's going to take you and he's going to reward you for it openly. Those secrets, those kingdom keys that we capture, and that those things that are revealed to us in the inner place, in the inner room, in the secret place, are those things that we'll be able to take out of the secret place into our world. Kingdom keys that we're operating, revelation and understanding that we're operating in, that will bring an open reward, that everyone will see our good works and in turn say, there has to be a God that's working on their behalf who will give glory to our God who is in heaven. Think about these things today. There's got to be a change in the way that we see things, the way that we do things. Again, back to our original passage, and I'm going to close this podcast with this thought. Why are your disciples not fasting? Jesus says very clearly, because I'm going to teach them how to operate in a different pattern. I'm going to let them watch me heal on the Sabbath because they're going to know I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. They're going to be doing things that other people aren't doing because I'm getting them ready to receive from heaven the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom so that they might be able to operate heaven in the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These are the ones that are going to shake heaven and earth. These are the ones that are going to turn cities upside down because they're going to be the possessors of truth. They're going to be the possessors of the secrets of the kingdom. And they're going to be, because they're possessors of the secrets of the kingdom, they're going to be able to operate in the earth like nobody else is able to operate. They're going to be able to do things that nobody else is able to do because they have the understanding of the kingdom of God and the wisdom that comes from the Father. I thank you for listening to this podcast today. I hope it has encouraged you, and I'm believing that God is going to bless you. Let me take this last minute just to pray for you. Father, for every person that is listening to this podcast today, I just pray that you would bless them abundantly in supernatural ways, that you will open up their eyes to see and that you will open up their ears to hear, that they would take this word and this teaching that they heard today and that there would be a true paradigm shift, that they would begin to see things in a way that they've never seen them before so that they can begin to operate and move and function in a way that they've never been before. If we do the difficult, if we follow your disciplines, if we do the difficult, you'll do the impossible. If we'll put our hearts and minds to do the things that you have put out there before us in your word, every discipline linked to your promise, as we follow the pattern of your word, that pattern will make us more than conquerors. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. I thank you for touching and blessing your people today. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tune in. Continue to tune in from week to week to hear the podcast that will be coming up. Find us online today. God bless.